The book of Revelation tonight, chapter number 1, if you would stand with us as our custom is of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Don't know if you know it or not, but you got a lot of little ones looking at you. I'm glad that some of you are setting the example to give them something to look at, to be a pattern for them. The book of the Revelation, he said in chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, to which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Thank you for standing tonight. As we started last week, we talked about the significance of the book. It is a revelation. It is a unveiling. We've seen that it unveils the person of Christ. Boy, how wonderful he is tonight. And then it reveals the purpose of God. Aren't you glad that God has a purpose? Not only that significance of the book, but we've seen the signature of the book. It was marvelously recorded through the pen of the Holy Ghost was written down that we may know what God has to say. Then the singularity of this book, it embodies a special promise and it embraces a special period. And we're caught up in all of that tonight. For Jesus is soon to come. And boy, as John said, even so come Lord Jesus. I'm glad this is the hottest place I'll ever be. I want to talk tonight in verse number 12 a few minutes about a voice that speaks. Verse 13, I want to talk about a visage that shines. Verse 17, I want to talk about a victory that he shares. This unveiling of the Lord Jesus as God is writing, how does he unveil Christ? And a lot of people don't know about our Jesus. A lot of people see him as only meek and lowly, and he is meek and lowly, but not only meek and lowly. He's God Almighty. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lion, the tribe of Judah. Even though he's the Lamb of Calvary's cross, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came riding in Jerusalem on a little donkey that was tied in a barn one evening. But he's coming back on a horse. He's going to have a vesture and it's going to be written in blood, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know the scoffers, they say, well, you've been reading too much material. How can that happen with God? All things are possible tonight. This unveiling of the Lord Jesus, I want you to note, first of all, he has a voice that speaks in verse 12. Aren't you glad that you've heard his voice in your life? John said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. He never forgot about it because he goes on to write in verse 15. He said, his voice is the sound of many waters. Can you imagine standing at the foot of Niagara Falls with some 12 million cubic feet of water rushing out of there every minute? Can you imagine standing there at the judgment bar of God? And friend, you'll not talk him out of things. You'll not bargain or barter with him that day. His voice is going to drown out all voices at that day. John said, I heard a voice talk to me, a voice of many water. It's nothing like the voice of the Lord. I say this, the Lord don't speak often, but he speaks as often as you want to read his word tonight. If you want to hear from him, I'll give you some good advice. This is the way you hear from him, through the preaching of the word of God. There are times that the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. We realize in the book of John's Gospel, chapter number 16, I've dealt with this over and over, but I want to keep relaying to it how he speaks to us by the Spirit of God. I'm glad we have the Spirit lives in us tonight. A lot of Baptist folk are scared to death of the Spirit. No reason to be scared of the Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, come, He'll guide you to all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Now, He's just saying what He's hearing. And so when the Spirit of God is speaking in the stillness of your heart and telling you the things you need to do, listen to Him, because He's getting orders from headquarters. God knows what we need tonight, and there's nothing like the voice of God. And boy, I'm glad He still speaks to His children. You see, all angry voices will be drowned out by His voice. The Bible says that He talks to His young'uns in John 10:1. John 10:1. I'm glad He still speaks to His children. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. He said in verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, if you go in any other way tonight, you go as a thief or a robber. And my friend, thieves or robbers will not be in heaven. And Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you're going to heaven, it's because you went through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lot going on in our day, in our era, about the Muslim faith. They say they're our brothers and sisters. They're not kin to us in the Word of God. They bypass our Jesus tonight. They say He was a good man, and He is a good man, but it goes further than that. He was the God-man. He was God manifested in the flesh. Come as a lowly servant and took away the sin of the world. So therefore Jesus said, if you're going to be saved, you got to go through the door into the sheepfold. I'm glad He stands there with His arms open wide tonight. He says, come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. The Muslims say that He was a prophet, He was a good man, but He's not the way. Therefore, we can't be kin to that crowd tonight. I stand on my convictions of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word. Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. And baptism don't get you to heaven. You're baptized after you accept Christ. If you're going to heaven tonight, it's because the Holy Spirit's dealt with your heart, showed you as a sinner. By faith, you reached up and took the hand of grace that reached down to you. And honey, when grace reaches down and faith reaches up and it unites, I'm glad that it transforms sinners into saints. The Bible said you must be born again by the grace of God. I'm glad tonight one day the Lord touched me. He found me and He saved me from my sins. And I bless His good name. He's still speaking to His children. A voice of many waters. There's a voice that speaks. Now His voice is so powerful, He's going to call us out of the grave. In John 5:28, I want to touch lightly on some things and maybe you can look at them later in more detail, but in John 5:28 concerning His voice, the Bible said, marvel not at this, for the hour's coming in which that are all in the graves shall hear His voice. That crowd that said, we don't believe in you, Jesus, guess what? He's going to wake them up on getting up morning. That bunch that said it was a fairy tale. That bunch said He died in vain. Guess what? Getting up morning, He's going to call them out of that grave. He said, marvel not at this. Don't think it's strange. For the hour's coming, which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. They shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life. They that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Now there's not one general resurrection. There are several resurrections. You'll notice, first of all, Matthew 27:52, There was a first fruit resurrection. Let's look at that. Matthew 27 and 52. I bet you this scared some people to death. Matthew 27, 52. Now this is the setting. Jesus has died. Jesus has been put on a cross. And he cried with a loud voice in verse 50 of Matthew 27, and he yielded up the ghost. I want to say he was not a victim, but he was the victor. The Bible said in verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent. What happened? Before Christ died, you could not do what you've done tonight. You could not come into the throne room that she sung about. You had to come to me. And then if I was right with God, I could get you in. If not, he'd kill me graveyard dead. Boy, ain't that something? Reminds me of some other religion going on tonight. You ain't got to talk to a man through a knot hole in a phone booth. I'm glad by the grace of God the veil's been rent. I'm glad we can talk to Jesus on our own accord tonight. Said that veil of the temple was rent in twain. What's he talking about? From the top to the bottom. Man didn't rip it. God ripped it. And he opened up a new and a living way. No longer do you have to come to a man and confess your sins and that man gets you to God. But now we have the God-man, the one that sits on the right-hand side of the Father, the great intercessor that still saves sinners, that still encourages saints tonight. He said, by a new and a living way. The Bible said, and the earth did quake and the rocks went. Look at verse 52. And the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now that's not soul sleep. That's just bodily sleep. Remember the Bible says to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. We don't just go out in the graveyard and go to sleep. Our bodies go to sleep. Our soul goes to heaven or hell the minute that we take our last breath. He said, and he came out of the graves after his resurrection. Watch this. And went the holy city and appeared unto many. I'd love to watch that crowd that day. Now, buddy, you talking about tearing some folks' nerves up. And they got out of them graves. Could you imagine them old fellas that shook that dust off their coats and walked in and said, my goodness, where did that scraggly looking bunch come from? Said, they was a big thing took place and said the grave opened up and said, I've got out and he's told me to go back down to Jerusalem and tell you something strange has happened today. Can I tell you tonight, the Bible says, marvel not that all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. There's going to be a resurrection of life. It's three phases there. We see this first resurrection. Number two, not only was that the resurrection of the first fruits that they call it, but then they have a resurrection of which we refer to as the full harvest. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. It's going to be a full harvest getting up when Jesus speaks. Oh, I'm telling you, we refer it as the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. I sort of hope I ain't got to go in that grave. It don't scare me, but I hope I ain't got to go there and go through. I hope I'm living when the Lord comes and I get my new body. And I'm just going to be caught up and I'm going to look around, look at all these plowed fields around Bowden, Georgia. Boy, ain't it going to be amazing that day. Look what he says on this other resurrection morning. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. There's that word again. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which, look at this, sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, spiritually alive, and remain physically alive, to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Or we shall not precede them. They getting up first. Ain't that something? They going to get out before we do. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With a voice of our... Let me tell you something. God ain't scared to shout. How come you are? Where does it say in your Baptist Bible you can't shout and enjoy the good things of God? I got more Bible to give you tonight to praise Him and to exalt His good name than I do for you to be quiet at the church. This ain't the morgue. This ain't a funeral home. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to bless His good name every chance we get. He said, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Watch this. And the dead in Christ, them that are saved in Jesus, that have died, they going to rise first. Brother Chuck, can you imagine some of them boys out with them tents that got them Kubota tractors pulled up there going to dig them graves? And all of a sudden, they go to popping up out of the grave. They say, my goodness, I didn't put him in deep enough. Can you imagine that day? Look what the Bible said. There's going to be another resurrection. He said they're getting up out of the ground. He said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then look at here, 17. Then we which are alive and remain. Why does he say that alive and remain? We which have been quickened by the Spirit of God and made alive by the Spirit of Christ. And are alive physically. Look what happens. We shall be caught up together with them in the cloud. And let me tell you, young'un, something tonight. It ain't no time to apologize when we in that transition. You better be getting right with your fellow man and your brother and sisters and your young'uns tonight. He calls us out of that thing. The way eternity finds us is the way eternity will keep us. Boy, I want to be caught up right, don't you? I wonder what you'd be doing when He catches us up. Boy, I'd hate to be in a bad place. Watch this. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And look here. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And this is what He says. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now I knowed my wife was saved before I got saved. And this scared the far out of me. I knowed she was saved. I knowed I wasn't saved. Now I knowed enough about the Bible this was going to take place. I'd never heard enough, but I heard somebody talk about it and this scared me. It ain't got to scare you tonight. He said, comfort one another with these words. He'll either come with us or He'll come for us. And thank God for that. And so that's the second resurrection. The third, there's going to be people saved through the great tribulation period. We're going to be in heaven. 7 years of tribulation is going to break out in this world like nothing's ever been seen. And the people that are saved during that transition, they're going to have a getting up morning too. So really, it's at least a three-step process. Then, that's the resurrection of life. Then the Bible said over there in the book of Matthew, remember, there's also the resurrection of the damned. The wicked dead. In Revelation 20, watch this, here's that resurrection. Revelation 20, I sure am glad I ain't going to be around there. I hear people singing songs. Man, they got all kind of songs that ain't biblical. Cabin on the hillside. I ain't got no cabin. I ain't going to no cabin on no hill. I got a cabin at Lake Weedowee. I ain't going to no room. I got a room down here at 403 Garrett Circle. I've got me a mansion, glory to God. It does matter what kind of Bible you carry. If you want to fix your car, you got to have the manual come with it. Revelation chapter number 20. And verse number 11. He said, I saw a great white throne. Him that sat on it. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. What a pitiful phrase and a king. Probably the most pitiful phrase I've ever seen in the Word of God. Found no place for them. Did you know tonight there's a place for you? Don't be found here. Because there's no place for you. He said, I saw the dead look small and great stand before God, and the books was open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead not the living, the dead, that had never been quickened by the Spirit of God, were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their work. You're not going to get there and talk him out of it because he's going to show you the date and time when he wrote it down. He's writing it down in a book. And he said this. And he said, and the dead were judged out of those things that was written in the books according to their works. There's going to be convicting evidence. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. They're getting out of there. Preacher, where'd they go? They can't find. That big airplane just crashed. They hadn't found but a couple of bodies. Where'd they go? God wrote them down. He knows where they are. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Look here. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. You say, preacher, are you really that old-fashioned to believe? Preacher, are you really a hellfire and brimstone preacher? I'm just telling what the Word of God said. There's a place worse than hell tonight. The lake of fire. When people die now without Christ, they go to hell. Judgment day, hell's delivered up, the sea's delivered up, the grave's delivered up, and a judgment's going to happen, and he's going to cast the wicked in the lake of fire. There's a plant in Palmetto, Georgia, I used to frequent. It was in the back, they have a big holding area with glass. And this insulation that's above this roof, I often wondered how it was made. And they said, come, we want to show you how this works. And they had a big front-end loader, and they loaded up this glass, and they'd dump it in a hopper. It'd go up an elevator to a room. They took me up to that room, and they opened the doors. And Brother Gerald, when they opened the doors, I mean, it knocked me back to, I could not believe. You know what it was? It was liquid fire. They take that glass and put it in there, and then it's blown out through a mole, and that's how our insulation's made. They said it was a man going through a hard time. They opened them doors, and he run and he dove in that, and all of a sudden, it was just a great incinerator. Nothing was left. That's amazing me, Brother Ryan. A man would run and dive in there. You know something? For sinners that know not our Jesus, and you think we ought to not preach with a burden, you think we ought to knock on a few doors, you think we ought to not hand out some tract, that's where that crowd's headed if they die without Christ. And it's going to last forever and ever and ever. You say, preacher, you ought to not scare our young'uns. Somebody better preach the truth to them that they get saved by the grace of God. Somebody better tell you the truth for you die and go to that place. You remember in Luke chapter 16, the Bible said that the beggar died and the rich man. And the rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he seen Father Abraham. And he said, Father Abraham, would you go back down to daddy's house? He said, I got five brothers, lest they come to this terrible place. Hell is no place to wind up tonight, friend. Hell's not a four-letter slang word at the Piggly Wiggly. Hell's a real deal tonight. Hell's where sinners go without Jesus. You say, preacher, you can't build a church preaching like that. We trying. A voice that speaks. So there's the resurrection of life. And the resurrection of the wicked. Here's a voice that speaks. Let's look over in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. He has a visage that shines. Ain't nobody shines like our Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 verse 13. He said, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks. What is that? That's the churches. We're going to go through them in a couple of weeks. The candlestick only reflects the light that's in it. This is a candlestick in our community. And the only way it's going to have light is if the Christ, the glorified one, walks in the midst of this candlestick and letting it shine in a dark and a dying world. He said, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, or them lamps, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Let me ask you something. I heard a man preach a long time ago, stuck with me all my life. He said, our God is a consuming fire. He's a God of fire. And if this God of fire lives in you, it ought to be things in you burning up all the time. I like what little girl been to Sunday school, Brother Randy. She heard God lived in her. She come home, asked her mama, said, Mama, does God live in you? She said, yeah. She said, I don't see Him hanging out nowhere. Can I tell you, if the God of this fire lives in you, it's going to be some things burning up in you in your life every day. Some habits will be burning up. Some bad attitudes will be burning up. We're to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. The God of fire lives in you. You're going to have a changing life all the time. Thank God, I may not be what I ought to be, but I ain't what I used to be. A visage that shines. We see that His head and His hairs were white like wool, white as snow, and His eyes were as a flame of fire, and His feet like refined brass, if they burned in a furnace, and His voice as a sound of many waters. Paul saw that countenance the day that the Lord saved him. In Acts 26, you remember, for sake of time, he told King Agrippa, he said, I saw the light. He said, about noonday, I seen the brightness above the sun, and it blinded me. Boy, this great God that has a visage that shines. Look at Him in Matthew 17 and verse number 2. Ain't you glad He still shines in our church from time to time? Aren't you glad He shines in your situation when nothing else can? Matthew 17, a visage that shines. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. I've often wondered why others didn't get to go and see this. Can you imagine when they got back and told them what happened? And was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Him. See, we're going to know each other in heaven. We're going to get glorified bodies. But we all ain't going to look like Jesus. They knowed Moses and Elias talking. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus. He always spoke up. He always put his mouth in gear before he put his brain in gear. Look what he said. Then answered Peter, said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Thou wilt let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And the disciples heard it. They fell on their face and were so afraid. He said, listen, boy, we ain't building no shrines around here to nobody but Jesus. That's good advice for us, isn't it? I want to say something. Praise God for you tonight. But if you want a good pat on the back, reach back there and pat it on the back. We're not going to put you on the stage and pat you on the back. Get right with God. Love Jesus. We're going to come here to worship the Lord, and that's it. And if it's anything beside that, I'm not even interested in unlocking the building. To Him be the honor and the glory for everything. They said, look, boy, you ain't building no shrine. Boy, it got quiet tonight, didn't it? A voice that speaks, a visage that shines. But lastly, He has a victory that He shares. Aren't you glad of that? I am so glad, Brother Gerald, I'm on the winning side tonight. Folks, I have some bad days, but my worst day, I'm a blessed man. And boy, I thank Him for it. Look, if you would now, verse 17 and 18, he has a victory that he shares. The Bible said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. A victory that he shares. I want to say in verse 17, he is the reigning one. He said, fear not, I'm the first and I'll be the last. He's going to have the last say. He's the reigning one. He's on the throne. He's running things. And contrary to what you believe tonight, he's even running Washington and you don't even know it. And we ought to be praying for our president. Amen. Don't get weak on me now. Do I believe in what he's doing? No, that's even the more why I ought to pray for him. I can tell you this, though, he's a man, he's human. You believe that? He's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders tonight. And I believe the Bible teaches us that we ought to pray for him. Romans 13, let me share this with you before we go to the house tonight. Romans 13. You think, do you really think that this man just wound up in the White House? Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. I want to stop right there just a minute. You young'uns ought to respect authority. That's what's the problem tonight. We're raising a generation that does not respect authority. A police officer pulls them over and they think they ain't even got to stop. And then they wind up in a bad place because you didn't raise them up to respect authority. That's why we've got a generation knows nothing about the house of God or the man of God. That's why we've got a generation that thinks that they do it all in their own eyes. It's fine to do it. The powers that be are ordained of God. We ought to pray for those. Amen. I ought to pray for. I believe it comes a time when you got to draw a line in the sand. If he tells us we got to lock these church doors, I think it's time to draw a line in the sand. But until then, till things go contrary against this Word of God, we ought to be praying for them in leadership. Victory that shares. I hate I killed such a good message. Victory that shares. He's a reigning one. And then in verse 18, he's a redeeming one. Watch this. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Ain't nobody never been able to say that but him. He's a redeeming one. He that liveth, his death was like no other death. Can you imagine the millions of gallons of blood that was spilt by bulls and goats to take away the sins of the people? But this man, by one sacrifice, has sat down forever by the right-hand side of the Father, making one sacrifice for the sins of the people. My goodness, he is the redeeming one tonight. Nobody never died like Jesus. Nobody never got up out of the grave like Jesus. He gave his life to die for you and for me. That's amazing. People like me and you, somebody like him had to die for us. One that had never known sin. But he loved us enough, he went to a cross. And I thank God for that tonight. The victory that he shares. He's the reigning one. He's the redeeming one. You see, God said, let us form man in our own image. Homosexuals was not made that way. It's an alternative lifestyle. It's a choice that is an abomination in the eyes of Jesus. God said, let us form man in our image, he said. The world says, let us conform man in their image. The devil says, let me deform man by sin. Education says, let us inform man. Society says, let us reform man by culture. But only Christ says He can transform a man. He's the redeeming one tonight. And I bless His good name. He's the reigning one, the redeeming one. Verse 18, He's the resurrected one. He said, I'm alive forevermore. Oh, I sure am glad of that. I'm glad He don't have to die anymore. Verse 18, He's the remaining one. Look what He said. Now, buddy, this right here caps it. He said, I'm alive forever. But He didn't stop there, Brother Joe. More. Ever. More. What about that? Now, I ain't got hope to that yet. Forever and more. He's the remaining one. And then, verse 18, lastly, He's the releasing one. He said, and I have the keys of hell and death. He's the key man tonight. He's the key individual of life and of death. He's locked the door to hell for me. I'm so glad that my Bible teaches me I'm saved by grace. Matter of fact, we couldn't be saved any other way but by grace. The law couldn't save us because we can't live by the law. I'll take grace over the law any day. Law says do, do, do. Grace says done, done, done. He's done it all on a cross. When He reaches down by grace, lost person, all you got to do is reach inside by that faith and there's a great transaction's going to take place. He's going to make a new creature out of you. And I bless His good name tonight. Boy, this book is unveiling. I'm glad it shows us this wonderful person that came my way one day and saved me from my sins. And I bless His good name.